you are able and join me in our call to worship, which is printed in your bulletin. God, you make beautiful things out of dust. You make beautiful things out of us. Turn our hearts toward you in this season of Lent. May we be people who lead lives worthy of your calling.
I invite you to join with me as we pray together the prayer for illumination found in your bulletin. Awakening God, stir our imagination by the power of your Holy Spirit, that in receiving your word, we might faithfully live into the new world of mercy and justice you are creating in our midst. A lesson from the Old Testament prophet of Micah in chapter 6. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgressions, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God? The word of God for the people of God. Today we find ourselves at the beginning of a journey. The season of Lent is a time when we walk with Christ to the cross. We enter a period of self-reflection as we reflect upon our contributions to the sin that put Christ on that cross. This 40-day period mirrors the wilderness experience that Jesus had at the beginning of his ministry, where he fasted and prayed and was tempted. This retreat that he took him from his surroundings to prepare him for the long haul of ministry, and gives us an example of how our faith can be renewed in the light of the upcoming celebration of Easter. During this time of year, we attempt to be more intentional in our faith journey by putting aside things that distract us from God's voice or take on practices that help us to hear or see God more clearly. The question that comes up for us is, what is that thing? What's that spiritual practice, or what's that distraction I can set aside that will effectively help me turn the focus off of myself and more acutely on what God has for me? What can I do that will help me celebrate the joy of Easter in such a way that I have a greater sense of what Christ did for me and for all humanity those many years ago? To help us as a congregation work through these questions, we will be focusing on the words of the prophet Micah throughout the season of Lent. The verses read today are ones that are familiar to many of us. They are a go-to in church circles as people reflect upon how it is that we are called to live our lives. Reflecting on the pain that misdeeds and mistakes often cause, Micah doesn't shy away from the words that condemn his own people for walking away from their faith and allowing a world not focused on the one true God to have undue influence on their lives. In the midst of a perspective in the book that goes back and forth between words from God and laments of the people, a question is asked as to the proper way to share or to show a penitent heart. The author asks if offering up something special to God would be what God wants. What can I give you, God, out of my abundance that would please you? The answer is one that challenges the individual to turn their focus away from themselves, away from seeking to make their place right with God, and onto a path of considering others. Why can't I just give a dove? Why can't I give a ram or a young calf, as the scripture says? Why can't I just open up my wallet and give whatever's in there? In the world we live in today, we can understand this line of thinking because much of our life is transactional. I pay this, I get this. So why not just make an offering out of our abundance, or even go broke making our penance? If I'm doing the right thing, a good outcome should come, right? The answer to this question for us is that transactional faith like this does not change us. In order to be truly changed and become what God has created us to be, we need to turn our focus to the outside. The things that we do that cause our distance from God and pain in our lives affects the lives of others around us as well. Micah's challenging us to see that by urging us to turn our attention outward in order to focus on others and to focus on the God who never stops reaching out to us, who never stops seeking us. The seeking or doing of justice, the loving kindness, loving mercy, walking humbly, are actions that force us to put ourselves at the back of the line. They force us away from a transactional state of mind to a more incarnational way of living. It gives us a viewpoint of our interconnectedness as humanity, helping us to consider how our actions affect others. And what better way to see that than to try to effect positive change in the people around us? One of the most impactful stories I've heard in the last few years is one told by Francois Clemens about his relationship with Fred Rogers of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. Francois played the part of Officer Clemens for about 25 years. As the show was just getting off the ground, Francois tells a story of Fred Rogers coming to him and asking him to play the role of Officer Clemens. He at first was apprehensive about taking the role, because he was African American and the country was in the middle of the civil rights struggle of the 60s. What he was being asked to do was no small thing. He ultimately decided to take the role and became the first African American actor to have a recurring role on a children's television series. During one particular episode, Mr. Rogers invites Officer Clemens, who's coming by for a visit, to rest his feet with him, and he shares a kiddie pool. They both put their feet in the kiddie pool together. Now, you don't have to look very deep in our history books to learn about the tensions that segregation created around the sharing of pools. You can start to see what Mr. Rogers is doing by inviting an African-American man to sit next to him and to share the joy of a cool pool with him. After a brief conversation about enjoying a time of rest, there, as they come to the end of their encounter, Mr. Rogers proceeds to dry the feet of Officer Clemens. Mr. Rogers, an ordained Presbyterian minister, knows the significance of washing someone's feet. The simple act of sharing a pool and caring for another by washing their feet gives us a glimpse of what Micah is calling us to do in this time of Lent, calling us to justice, to kindness, to humility. This is how God lived among us when he came as Jesus. We read in Philippians 3 that Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. What would it look for us? What would it look like for that to be true of us? Today we take the mark of death upon our foreheads and we come forward and receive the ashes. It's a reminder of the finitude of our life here on earth. It's a reminder of the scriptures that call us to sackcloth and ashes in order to humbly reflect on our sin, reflect on the ways we have missed the mark and brought about hardship in our lives and the lives of others, and the ways that we have failed to be an obedient church. In acknowledging those truths about us and our communities, we put ourselves in a position to be open to change. When we name the certainties of death and our predilection to fail, we begin to understand who we are in relation to God and our need for God's graceful work in our lives. So what does the Lord require of us? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. Let us pray. God of the ashes, today let us hold the tension of the story of our making, born of the dirt, beautifully connected to the earth we walk on, and yet possessing the knowledge of our own mortality, that our common decay cannot be escaped. As we begin Lent, help us to become honest about the ways our societies and selfhoods are marred by injustice, cruelty, neglect, and greed. Help us to see our own role in this degeneration of the world, that as we push back evil around us, we might also admit those secret evils that dwell in us. As we name how we have been complicit in the ashes of this world, help us to bear them in solidarity and hope. Amen.
My dear family in Christ, the early Christians observed with great devotion the days of our Lord's passion and resurrection. And it became the custom of the church that before the Easter celebration, there should be a 40-day season of spiritual preparation. During this season, converts to the faith were prepared for holy baptism. It was also a time when persons who had committed sins and had separated themselves from the community of faith were reconciled by penitence and forgiveness and restored to participation in the life of the church. In this way, the whole congregation was reminded of the mercy and forgiveness proclaimed in the gospel of Jesus Christ, and the need we all have to renew our faith. I invite you, therefore, in the name of Christ and in the name of the Church, to observe a holy Lent by self-examination and repentance, by prayer and fasting and self-denial, and by reading and meditating on God's Word, by doing justice, loving kindness, and walking humbly with God. And so, to make a right beginning of repentance and as a mark of our mortal nature, we come before God now to receive these ashes as the congregation of Christ. Let us pray. Holy God, you have created us out of the dust of the earth. Grant that these ashes may be to us a sign of our mortality and repentance, so that we may remember that only by your gracious gift are we given life. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. We invite you now to come forward as you feel led. We will have three stations, and you're invited to come down the center aisle or come from the side and receive at any of the three stations. The altar rails are open for you to kneel in prayer and confession and receiving of forgiveness, offering your prayers in whatever way you feel led, and staying as long as you would like. As you come forward, we will place the ashes on your forehead, but if you would prefer them on the back of your hand, just hold out your hand and we will place them there. And we will say to you, remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Repent and believe the good news of God's love. Let us come. invite you now to rise in body or in spirit as we make our communal confessions and our individual confessions before God. Jesus said, "Do not let your hearts be weighed down by the sins and worries of this life, but watch and pray for the grace of God who will save you in your time of trial." Now let us join our hearts and voices in this prayer of confession. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Let us continue in the silence in a spirit of confession.
The peace of the Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord.
Holy and most merciful God, from you comes every good and perfect gift.
We give you praise and thanks for all your mercies. Your goodness has created us. Your bounty has sustained us. Your discipline has chastened us. Your patience has borne with us. Give us a heart to love and serve you, and enable us to show our thankfulness for all your goodness and mercy by giving up ourselves to your service and cheerfully submitting in all things to your blessed will through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. Go now in the peace of Christ. Amen.